We're finishing up our short series on the question that you see on the screen, what kind of church is this? Some of you have been going here for years and years and years. Some of you are just brand new here. So we're kind of moving through this and asking, what kind of church is this, so that you have a clear indication of what we are about. And so I want to complete the answer to that question today of what kind of church is Christ the King Snohomish. We've been answering this question by condensing the culture of Christ the King into three words. And if you've missed the first two in the series, you can easily go online and listen to them. But the full answer to the question, what kind of church is this, is this. Christ the King Community Church is a real church, a simple church, and an outreach church. Now, the first two words are really just setup words for the third word. Real and simple describe how we get the third word done. And so, I mean, we can be real. I mean, it's great if we're real. It's great if we're simple. But we got to be real and simple for a greater purpose. And that greater purpose is to be effective in our outreach to those who don't know Jesus Christ. So at CTK, we can describe it this way. We keep it real. At CTK Snohomish, we keep it simple. And at CTK Snohomish, we keep the arrows pointed out. Now, let me explain where that phrase grew from and where it was coined. It was coined by a man by the name of Paul Evanson. Now, Paul was one of the original members of Christ the King way back when it started, and became the first small group leader. He was also one of the first staff in a part-time capacity and eventually became a full-time staff member overseeing the development of Christ the King. And one time, Paul was talking to Dave Browning, who is the lead pastor of Christ the King International, about this wild ride that they had been on over the 4 years since Christ the King had started. And you have to understand that Christ the King grew 70% a year. 70% a year in the first 4 years. So what that meant is that in the first year, it was about 250 people average. And then in the second year, it was 450. And then in the third year, 700 people. In the fourth year, 1,200 people. People, that's phenomenal growth, very, very quickly. And so they were together, and they were talking about this growth, and they were asking, why do you think God's been so favorable to CTK? Because they knew it had nothing to do with them. And Paul said this. He said, one of the reasons I believe that God has blessed the ministry is because we have worked so hard at keeping the arrows pointed out. The arrows pointed out. And that phrase stuck. And so you're going to hear it all the time throughout Christ the King International, that we keep the arrows pointed out. And church, it really should be no surprise to us that when the arrows are pointed out, that's what reflects the very heart of God. And that's because, and that he's blessed CTK because of that. Now, on the screen, you're going to see two diagrams, one with all the arrows representing the believers, and they're all pointed in, and then the other one with the arrows representing the believers pointed out, away. And I believe that the very heart of God is portrayed in that second diagram, not the first one, in the second one. The heart of God is to reach out. How do we know that? Well, the Father sent the Son sent the Spirit, and the Father, Son, and Spirit has sent us out into the world. And we go to Matthew 28, which is our scripture for today, Matthew 28, 19 through 20. We read those almost these exact words. He says, what I want you to do is I want you to go, not stay, not sit, not camp. I want you to go and make disciples of all nations, all ethnic groups. So God, we know, is an outreach God. Now, here's what's interesting. When churches begin, I truly believe that they have every intention to keep the arrows pointed out. Every church that starts doesn't go, oh, well, we just want to be about ourselves. That's all we want to do. I've never heard that. It's always been about keeping the arrows pointed out. And I think that every church starts with saying something like this. What if we could? And then they fill in the blank behind what if we could with all these ideas about reaching the community and being Christ out to people and reaching lost people for the cause of Christ. But what happens after a while is that most churches begin saying, what if? And then behind that, they begin to fill in the sentence with everything about them, everything about the church, the church community, the people who are already saved. And that's a very clear indication when that happens that the arrows go from this to this. They go from pointing outward to pointing inward. And and even today, there seems to be this kind of both a spoken and unspoken tension between outreach, which is mean, you know, taking care of others, and inreach, taking care of ourselves. And without some deliberate and very intentional efforts, let me tell you what wins. This wins, not this. Now, and here's why. Here's the dilemma that we have in our lives. Last week I said that all of us have a limited amount of time and a limited amount of energy and a limited amount of resources that we have on a daily basis. And so we come to this dilemma. What do I do with those? Do I take the bulk of those limited resources and the limited energy and the limited time, and do I focus those on caring for our needs, caring for our growth, caring for our development? Or rather, do I take that limited time and energy and resources that I have in my life, and do I put the bulk of those resources into others, caring for their needs, caring for their growth, caring for their development, building bridges of relationship so that the seeds of Christ and his gospel have an opportunity to be planted, sprout, and be watered and grow and eventually harvested. And that's the tension that happens in churches today. What do I do with all that limited time and energy and resources that I have? And I'll tell you from ministry experience that without some very deliberate and very intentional efforts and hard work, caring for ourselves always wins the battle of that tension. I've never seen it not what I call thunk back to that. There's some real intention not to. So we ask ourselves, why does that happen? Well, do you think it's selfishness which causes the arrows to be pointed inwardly over time? See, I don't think so. And here's why I don't think so. There's a lot of people who think God's people are narcissistic and they're egocentric. I don't think that's the case. I believe that in any organization, there's just this natural progression in a life cycle that goes like this. The longer that we are together, the longer that we have this relationship together, the greater the sensitivity to what each other's needs are. And when the sensitivity to each other's needs get greater, then we begin to go, well, that needs to be taken care of. And so it's just this natural tendency to happen within any organization that stays together for a long time. So we could settle for that, but please understand and hear what I'm saying here, that the pastors and the leaders of Christ the King International are saying, hey, you know what? We don't want to be defined by a natural tendency. What we want to be defined by is supernatural things. That's who we want to define who we are, not what's natural. So by God's grace, we want to make absolutely sure that we keep the arrows of Christ the King Snohomish pointed out. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't take care of one another. Don't go to the extreme on that. It just means that the bulk of what we do is to keep the arrows pointed out. So in an outreach church like us, we have to work very hard to not forget our calling, not to forget the mission that Jesus Christ gave to us with his last words in Matthew 28. Go into all the world and teach the gospel. So if that's what we're to do, and it takes a lot of effort to do that, who's responsible for making that happen? Well, let me just suggest to you that there are three distinct groups who have this responsibility. Outreach First is the work of every single person who claims to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Every individual. Now, the reason that that's so important is because here at Christ the King, we are not going to make outreach a program. And the reason we're not going to make a program is because we believe that it is something that should come out of a divine partnership between you and God as his children. We're going to encourage you to do that. We're going to talk about it a lot. We're going to help you do that. We're going to give you ideas to do that. But we are saying to you, this is your responsibility because you have a divine partnership with God. And the reason we have this divine partnership is because we cannot do outreach without God, and God has chosen not to do outreach without us. Could he do it without us? Absolutely. But he chose, when he began the church, he said, this is your responsibility. Now, we look at 1 Corinthians 3:5. And in 1 Corinthians 3:5, there's some questions that are being asked. For instance, what, after all, is Apollos? Apollos, we know, was an apostle. And then they say, and what is Paul? Well, Paul also was an apostle. But then he goes on and says, they are only servants. They are only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. That's a very important phrase in that scripture. As the Lord has assigned to each his task. Because what it tells us is that both those guys had an assignment. And that assignment came from God, and its purpose had to do with people coming to belief in a living God. Now, friends, as followers of Christ, there are divine appointments that God has given you and me. Believe me when I say that there is no work, there's no mistake on the work that God has given you to do. There's no mistake in the job that God has given you to do. And some of you would say to me, oh, that's easy for you to say, Greg, you don't know my job. Let me tell you something. My job is no less challenging on a daily basis than yours, unless you're a mother. We work where we work because of a divine appointment. Doesn't mean that we'll always work there, but we work where we work because God has given us some kind of divine appointment. And it's the same when you can't find work. And this is the hardest thing to grab your mind around, but you have to ask the question, what's the divine purpose for my being out of work? What is the divine purpose for my not being able to find a job? Because if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, I guarantee you that there's a divine purpose in it. It may be short-lived, it may be long-lived, but that is there as a divine purpose. What is it? It's no mistake, people, that you live today where you live. You may not live there forever, but today there is a divine purpose for you living where you live. It's not a mistake that you know the people that you know right now. You may not be around them the rest of your life. You may, I mean, there's people in our life that have come and gone as we've come and gone and we've moved. But for that moment, I can look back now and say, wow, they had a divine appointment in my life and I had a divine appointment in theirs, and there's others people, you know. And so there's no mistake for the people you know. But here's the goal. The goal for every single believer should be to get into the place where he or she can be a conduit of God's grace into other people's lives. A man by the name of William Coleman put it this way. He says, be alert to those who are beginning to be awakened by his grace. Seek out those who are on, and I love this, who are on the stretch for God. Don't you just love that? Stretch for God. And concentrate energy on their development. I am convinced that a few such persons are within the influence of every single Christian. Now, when you look at that, you go, well, that includes several things. That includes non-believers and includes new believers. Because you want people who are new believers are on a stretch to even know God more. So we have this double duty here of outreach. It's not just outreach to those who don't know Christ, it's outreach to those and make disciples of those people. And I know that there are people here today that God's calling them and giving them that divine appointment to do just that. But friends, there are people that are within your sphere of influence or who are going to come into your sphere of influence who are stretching out for God. So the question that we have to ask ourselves, are we on the lookout for them? are we stretching out to them? There seems to be in the world of the church this tension that also is taking place between two words, evangelism and outreach. At Christ the King, we use the word outreach rather than evangelism, and that is not because evangelism is a bad word. It's not. It's just that outreach is just a better word that describes our mission. Let me give you an example of some things and the differences. Outreach communicates that any of us can be involved in it. For some reason, evangelism has come to be known, and it sounds like something that's for somebody special, like Billy Graham or Franklin Graham or those type of people, because you hear people say all the time, well, they can do evangelism, but I can't. Right or wrong, evangelism has grown into meaning something that we do with words. It insinuates that we're going to tell somebody something. Well, our outreach goes beyond words. It conveys that it may include words, but it's going to include also deeds. It includes all the loving, all the one another's that we find in Scripture that we do to people, that we do for people. Evangelism has a sense that there is a kind of an end in mind, that we're looking for a decision from somebody. And outreach really seems to value the process. Whether the people are making a decision or not, that doesn't matter as much as what we're trying to just reach out to them. And I'll explain this in just a minute, what we mean by that. Evangelism sometimes has this idea that you kind of get this feeling that there's a pressure to it. It's got to be done, and it's got to be done this way, and we've got how many baptisms did you have, and how many people did you come to Christ, and there's this pressure, whereas outreach is freeing. It's you can relax. You don't have to prove anything. We're not putting notches on your gun belt. We're just reaching out to people. So with that in mind, let me just give you the definition that CTK pastors kind of live by and that we teach into the church. Outreach is developing a lifestyle where Christ has the freedom to express his nature in us as we develop relationships with friends and neighbors, relatives and coworkers who don't know Christ. Outreach is a broad concept encompassing all the loving expressions that we extend, from the cup of cold water given to another to personally sharing your faith in Jesus Christ. Outreach can include evangelism, but it is far broader. It includes all of our outgoing actions of love towards those who have not yet received Christ. Outreach is every effort on our part to love the lost. Our love is not conditional upon whether they receive Christ or even show interest. So what's that saying to us? We love them, period. Will they accept Christ? We don't know. Do we care? Absolutely, because our heart's desire is for them to accept God's pursuit of them, to make that life change. But unconditional love is what provides the atmosphere in which they can be most receptive to God's pursuit. So we're not trying to sell them anything. You ever feel like you have to be a salesman if you're a Christian? That's not the idea behind it. We're not there to sell them anything. What we're just doing is we're just giving of ourselves to them. We're just sharing. In 1 Peter 3:15, very important verse, because it says in there, but in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. So that's the first thing. Set your heart apart for the Lord. And then it says, always be prepared. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. So we look at that verse and we go, what does that imply for us? What does that say to us? And really, it's saying a couple of things. First of all, it's insinuating that, first of all, there's hope in you when you come to Jesus Christ. There's hope in you, and that hope can be seen. Why? Because it insinuates that there's a relationship that is going on and that you've established this relationship with people who don't know Christ to the point where they now know you, they have this relationship with you, they have this assurance that they are safe with you, and now they are beginning to ask you, what is this that I'm seeing in you? Which insinuates that the hope can be seen in you. So if you are going and nobody, you have these relationships and nobody's asking about anything in your life because they can't see anything different from what they see in the world, you better start asking yourself a different question. You better start asking yourself, am I a Christian? And am I living as a Christian so that the hope can be seen in me so that they can ask? Because the other thing that this says to us is that they initiate the conversation. It says, be ready. Because somebody is going to approach you and ask you, hey, what's going on in your life? Because it's completely different than what I see out here. What's going on in your life? Because you seem to have this hope, and I've been down for so long, but you're going through the exact same thing. What's this hope in you? Because you've been diagnosed with MS, but you know what? You don't act like all the other people I know who've been diagnosed with MS. What's going on? And they're initiating it. Because why? Because we're reaching out to them in some way. So every single follower is called to be an intelligent witness for their Lord. Second, we say that the work of outreach is not just the responsibility of every individual, but it's the responsibility of every small group. Now, we like open groups here, not closed groups, because in Luke 19:10, it says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. Not that what's already been found, that which was lost. So what's the difference between having an open group and a closed group? Well, a closed group is basically a group that gets together in the name of Jesus, and they're enjoying each other's company so much that they say, you know what, we really are not interested in anybody else joining our group. And the reason is because if we let somebody else in, you know, it's going to upset this little delicate balance that we've worked so hard to try to get. And if we let somebody else in, it's going to throw a huge wrinkle into everything that we've put together. And we have this wonderful community, and we certainly don't want to have anybody else come in and rock the boat. That's a closed group. That's not what we want here. We want an open group. Well, what's an open group? Well, it's very simple. An open group says, hey, we want to receive new people. And that's why we ask groups here at Christ the King to pray for new people. We ask them to pray for an empty chair, and we actually ask the groups to put an empty chair in their group and to pray for that. It's a symbolic thing. But at the end of each meeting, we ask them to pray for somebody, to lead them to somebody during that week, somebody in that group where they can meet somebody that they can invite into to sit in that chair. And you know what? That's a prayer that God loves to answer. And the groups that have been praying that prayer, it's amazing how many people those group members run into on a weekly basis, people that they can invite to be part of their group. And that chair gets filled. Because outreach is a work of every small group. When somebody comes and sits in that chair for the first time, that group does away with everything else that they had planned for that week and for that night. And they go around and they introduce themselves. Now, everybody else in that group knows everybody else's story, but this new person does not. And they don't share, hey, look how wonderful and Christ-like we are. Look how spiritual we are. That's not what they're sharing. You know what they're sharing? They're sharing things like, you know what? We're a fellow struggler just like you are. And we go through some of this life stuff too. We're just glad you're here to be with us. And what they're doing is they're putting people at ease. They're just saying, hey, I'm just a beggar just like you're a beggar, and we'll go find the bread together. And there's nothing special about us. And groups need to let that be known right off the bat. That's what they're doing. I love it. Christ the King in Bellingham, they use an analogy of the Titanic. We all know the story of the Titanic, right? While it was sinking, they lowered the lifeboats, about 20 of them, and most of those, if not all, almost all of them, pulled away half empty. And when told some of them to let's go back, they were told, no, let's not go back because we're going to get swamped. There's too many people. We can't bring them all in. All except for lifeboat number 14. We've all heard the story. Lifeboat number 14 heard the cries, turned around with the possibility of being swamped by thousands. And they went back and listened for the cries and went to them and brought in as few precious lives as they could that did come on board. At Christ the King, we want to be lifeboat number 14. We see every small group as a lifeboat that has been purposely launched into some community. And instead of making CTKs feel like some kind of pleasure cruise where we say, hey, look at all of us, we're in this boat and we've all been saved. Hallelujah, praise God. No, we're saying we're lifeboat number 14 and we hear the cries. And we are going to go out and reach out and try to grab as many people as we can to bring them on board. So it's not just for every individual, and it's not just for every small group. It's for every worship center. There are 33 and growing worship centers in the U.S., and somewhere in the neighborhood, and we just can't count all of them, 500 CTKs worldwide in 7 different countries, worship centers. And every one of them, including CTKs and Homish, is about outreach. In the church, there are basically 3 circles, historically, that make up the church. In the very center is the core. And the core are people who are very center of it. They own it, they steward it, and they care very passionately about Christ the King where they meet. And these are the people who are holding the rudders and trimming the sails, and they're making sure that the ministry stays on a certain course that has been set. And that's the core group. Around the core group is what they call the congregation. The congregation is the people who make CTK their home. They're going to be here every week, no matter how bad I teach. They're going to be here. These are people who faithfully come back week after week after week. They're people who have seen enough here to take them out of here. They've seen all the ugliness and all the warts and all the things like that. And it's enough to make them leave, but they don't leave. And the reason they don't leave is because they love this body of believers like family. And they may not be the core of it, but they believe in it. And they align themselves with and they attend faithfully. So you may be the core, you may be the congregation. And then around the congregation is the crowd. Now, these are the people who come and go. And if you were to interview them out on the street, they would say, oh, hey, yeah, Christ the King, that's my church. And you go, well, when was the last time you were there? And they'd say, well, let's see, it's probably about 6 months ago, maybe longer. But they're part of the crowd, but they feel like they're part of us. Well, at Christ the King, we think there's another ring, a fourth ring. And that's the ring of those who are about to come. These are the people who are in your communities and in your neighborhoods that you pray for a lot. These are the people in our communities that hopefully will one day be a worship leader at Christ the King. But right now, they're not even a believer. These are the people who may one day work in our family ministries or some other ministry or some other outreach ministry. But right now, they don't even know Jesus. These are the ones who are about to come. And you know people who are about to come. They tell you, you know, I'm going to come to your church someday. I don't really want to go to church, but when I do go to church, I'm going to go to a church like yours. And that's what they tell you. There's people like that in this community. They've already thought, this CTK, I'm going to go there someday. When will it happen? Well, probably like most people, when stuff in life hits the fan. But when it does, they'll come, and we'll be there. We will be part of the lifeboat. We want to include those who are about to come rather than just those who are already here. Because too many churches begin to think of just those 3 circles as the church, the core, the congregation, and the crowd. And they care about those people right in those 3 circles, but they don't do anything more. They don't really think about those who are still outside the door. They just kind of put those who are already inside the door. But here, we care more than just for those. We care for people who have never come through the door, those who are about to come. I have friends and acquaintances that are in this group. They're people that I meet and I talk to almost daily. They're my neighbors. They're people on my street. They're people in the shops that I I've frequented over the last 10 and a half years that I've been here. And a lot of them, they know me, they know what I do, and so they'll joke with me and they'll talk about, hey, I'm going to come to worship someday. But many of them don't yet. But let me tell you what they do. When they have a need of something in their life, when they have somebody who needs married or somebody who needs buried or somebody, if there's a problem in their life or they've been laid off or they have an illness or something like that, guess what, who the person is they call? You have the same people in your life. These are the people who are about to come. And I think about them when we make decisions on things we do here at CTK. Because there are things that we choose to do and there are things that we choose not to do. And it's not on the basis, those decisions are not on the basis of you who are already here many, many times. It's on the basis of our friends and acquaintance. It's on the basis of our non-believing friends because they're the ones who are about to come. CTK Snohomish believes that outreach is the central focus of all of its worship centers. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 9:22, to the weak I become weak in order to win the weak. I have become all things to all men so that by all possible means I might save some. Now let me tell you what he's saying there because there's a lot of tension with this passage also. Basically what he's saying here is I am the one to make changes. I'm the one to change my ways. I'm not asking you out here to change your ways. I'm saying that I'm willing to make the necessary adjustments on my end. Now, church, here's the thing. There are some things here we cannot change. The message of Jesus Christ cannot be changed. It cannot be compromised. But we can change the methods. And there are things that we can do and will do to reach out to people. For instance, look around. We don't have any highbrow dress code here at CTK. Nobody is here to impress people with their wardrobes. I was telling people in the first two services, the only reason I am wearing slacks today and not jeans is because my wife refuses to allow me to wear dress shoes with my jeans. Some of you are going like this. You know what? I don't care, but she does. I have to live with her. No, let me put that. I get to live with her. Thank you. Kathy's keeping me accountable here, supporting me, yes. See, we're not here to impress that. We can also speak the language that pre-believers understand. We can respect people's time. We can design our worship and music with a lost person's ear in mind. We can let people know in our advertising and in our environments that there is a place for you and it's comfortable. Some churches, unfortunately, have gotten to this. And they'll say this, but they won't say it out loud, but you can read it in between the lines of how people act. They say, believe and you can belong. Here at Christ the King, we're saying, you belong so that you can believe. Many times belonging comes before believing. In Acts 1:8, Jesus said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to all the ends of the earth. When you hear that and read that from here on out, I want you to hear one thing with it. I want you to hear the export mentality. It says, I want you to go out from where you are right now into your community, Jerusalem. And then I want you to go out into your region, Snohomish County. And then I want you to go to the next region. And then I want you to go into all the earth. People, do you see there that every single arrow is pointed where? Out. Out. So let me ask you this question as I leave you today with this. Is Christ the King Community Church in Snohomish a place that you go to? Or is Christ the King Community Church a place that you go from? When you are part of an outreach church like Christ the King International, I guarantee you it's definitely going to be the place you go from. So let me just give you three very quick applications with this. The three C's, celebrate. I want you to celebrate, people, the outreach that has already happened in this body of believers over the amount of years that people have gathered. No matter what name, no matter what place, I want you to celebrate what's already happened. Hundreds of people have come to know Christ. Hundreds of people have come back to God. Hundreds of people have been baptized. And you know what? When you and I are gone, if God does not tarry, we pray that there will be a group of believers right here, and I don't know what name they'll have, and I don't know where place they will be, but they will say, let's celebrate what was done before us. Next, I want you to connect. I want you to become part of a small group, and we're hammering this really hard because you need to join some kind of ministry team. You need to connect your efforts and outreach with other people's efforts. You need to find a lifeboat that goes out and pulls people in that are crying. And then finally, you need to contribute. Reach out personally in some way. Give time of service to other people. Give of your tithe and offerings to support the ongoing outreach. People, when you give to Christ the King, Snohomish, we're working really hard at getting to the place where the majority of that resource goes out and not in. That means we're going to do without some things. That means that we're not going to have a large staff. That means that we're trying to trim down some things so that we can put more money into outreach. So give, contribute, make a contribution, because CTK is not so much a place you go to as it is a place you go from.